This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Marlo Diane, ForbiddenDragon.blogspot.com. Domestic Cookery: Useful Recipes and Hints to Young Housekeepers by Elizabeth E. Lee. Section 19. Remarks. Remarks on Carving, etc. I do not think it necessary to say much on the subject of carving, as those who are accustomed to sit at a well-ordered table and who observe the manner of the host and hostess can soon acquire the art, both of carving and helping with ease, and when placed at the head of their own table, the knowledge thus gained will be found a great assistance. The proper time for children to acquire good habits at meals is not when there is company. It should be an everyday lesson, as when parents are engaged with their friends or guests, they have no time to devote to the manners of their children, and to reprove them at table is very unpleasant, as well as mortifying. Young children will soon acquire the manner of sitting quietly till they are helped, if they are made to understand that they will not be permitted to eat with their parents and friends, unless they behave with propriety. I have thought it a great assistance to the good order of a large family for every member to be punctual in their attendance at meals, and all to sit down together with a short pause before the carving and helping commences. In these moments of quiet, the heart is sometimes awakened to a feeling of gratitude to the Almighty Dispenser of our blessings. At the table, different members of the family meet, and where affection and kindness, those aids to true politeness, preside, it is truly a delightful treat to be the guest of such a family. Every symptom of selfishness should be discouraged, for if suffered to take root in a child, it lays the foundation of much that is disagreeable to themselves and others. Inculcate this excellent rule of doing unto others what you wish others to do unto you, and always preferring others to yourself. It is the custom in some well-regulated families to permit the younger members, as they arrive at a suitable age, to take turns in presiding, not only at breakfast and tea, but at the dinner table. I have known quite young girls that have been taught in this way, carve a fowl or joint of meat with ease and grace. In helping, they should be taught not to overload the plate, as it takes away the appetite of some persons to be helped too largely. The gravy should be stirred so that all may be helped alike, and a small quantity put on meat or fowl to which it belongs, and not on vegetables, unless it is particularly desired. If there should be a rare dish on the table, it is best to hand it around and let everyone help himself, after it has been nicely cut up. Ham is much nicer to be cut in very thin slices. So is salt beef and tongue. Young housekeepers, in selecting their dishes for dinner, if they have not an experienced cook, should avoid those that are difficult to prepare. Never try a new dish when you expect company. Your guests will be more gratified with a neat and moderate table, with a few plain and well-cooked dishes, accompanied with a smiling countenance of the hostess, than with a great variety of ill-cooked and badly arranged viands. Economy, the source of charity. If your circumstances will not admit the giving away much, you can, by economy, give a little, and a blessing will attend it. There are few of the very poor that know how to repair old clothing to advantage. A garment will be of much more service that is well mended before it is given to them. It has been remarked that the poor are ungrateful and forget the favors conferred upon them. I have seldom found them deficient in this respect. And when they are, if we would reflect that if some of us receive no more than we deserve, we should be but poorly off. We know in our own families how acceptable is a nice present of something that a sick member can eat, and it is sometimes the means of restoring the appetite, when anything cooked in the house is rejected, the feeling of love with which it is presented is a cordial to a sick person. How much more acceptable will something nourishing be to one oppressed with poverty as well as sickness? When the rich are diseased, the physician often finds it necessary to enjoin strict abstinence, but very different is it with the poor, who frequently suffer for want of nourishment. When the mother of a poor family is ill, how greatly are her sufferings augmented by the knowledge that her children are deprived of her services, and how acceptable to such a family would be a loaf of bread or a large bowl of soup, which could be made of materials that would hardly be missed. Dried beans or peas and onions are a cheap and valuable addition to soup. Also, cold vegetables. The liquor that fresh meat is boiled in should be carefully saved for this purpose, if there were those near you that need it. It may seem at first troublesome to a young housekeeper to take the necessary care to save for the poor. It is certainly much easier to let the cook have her own way, and waste or not, as she pleases. But for your encouragement, my young friends, permit me to say, you will be sweetly rewarded for your attention to them. One eminent for his charities, near the close of life, made this remark, "When I spent, I lost, but what I gave away remains with me." To encourage children in acts of kindness to the aged and afflicted. Young children may early be taught to administer to the wants of the aged and infirm. Some mothers are in the practice of giving away a small sum of money to their children as a reward for some little service or piece of work that they have done. The money thus obtained to be laid out for a sick or old poor person. This method has an excellent effect on the minds of children. It incites them to industry, teaches self-denial, and the feeling of love and charity which are thus easily instilled into their tender minds make a lasting impression. If they spent their little fund in trifles for their own use, they would acquire a habit of selfishness, which, when once formed, it is most difficult to eradicate. I have remarked the pleasure with which children will relate the incidents of a visit which they are permitted to make to a poor family, and it is a refreshment to persons advanced in life to see a young family thus trained. As soon as little girls can sew, they should be encouraged to make garments for the poor, or repair their own old ones, as a present to a child of their own size, or make patchwork out of old dresses for a bed covering for poor people. Their being permitted to do these things should be a reward for good behavior and attention to their lessons or other duties. When they are old enough to make a loaf of bread, a pie, or a little plain cake, allow them to do it, and take as a present to, or make broth or panada for a sick person. This teaches them to prepare these things while young, and may be useful to them in afterlife. How cheering it must be to the aged or afflicted to see smiling young faces enter their dwellings, bearing their little offerings of food or clothing, the work of their own hands. Be encouraged, my dear young mothers. If you thus train your children to works of charity, you will be doubly blessed. Early rising promotes punctuality. It is an old and true saying that if you waste an hour in the morning, it is seldom recovered all day. This dispirits you, and the next day there is still something left undone. A late riser is rarely punctual in her engagements, and more of the happiness of married life depends on forming a habit of strict punctuality than young persons are generally aware of. If you are distressed at having required habits of late rising and want of punctuality, remember by perseverance they can be overcome. Fix an hour for rising, and let nothing but illness prevent you being up at that time. While forming this useful habit, you should retire to rest early. Many things can be better attended to at an early than a late hour in the morning. Where families rise before the sun, the day seems much longer. All the active employments of the early riser are accomplished before her later neighbors have finished their breakfast. The duties of the bath and toilet being performed, her chamber well aired and arranged, and her parlor in order, she is ready for the more quiet employments of reading and sewing. In a well-regulated household, servants perform their duties with life and energy. Determine on an hour for your meals, and if all members of the family adhere to it, scrupulous exactness will soon be established. Hints to young wives. The authoress is well aware of the difficulties which surround a young wife on her first setting out, particularly if situated at a distance from the kind mother who has hitherto directed her. With servants who watch every movement, and will soon discover whether the new mistress is qualified for the task she has undertaken. Accustom yourself to rise early. Fix a certain hour and let nothing but indisposition prevent your being up at that appointed time. By this means your affairs will all be arranged in good season, and you will have time for recreation in walking, riding, or in reading, such authors as will tend to your strength and improve your mind. Young persons removed from large families often suffer greatly from loneliness, whereas if they were occupied with household affairs, they would not feel so severely the absence of their husbands while attending to business. Be punctual to the hour that has been fixed on for your meals, and let good order prevail in every department of which you have the command. A mistress of a family is much happier who knows how everything is going on, from the garret to the cellar. By inspecting everything, you soon become interested, and we all know when that is the case, the most difficult pursuits become easy and pleasant. And with what pleasure will a young wife welcome her husband to his meals, when her conscience assures her that she has done her best, and that nothing is neglected, and how well it will lighten his labors to reflect, when absent, that the partner he has chosen is performing her duty at home. I am fully persuaded that the formation of domestic happiness is generally laid the first year of marriage. Therefore, my young friends, act well your part. If you desire to be treated with confidence, you must merit it. If you keep an exact account of all your expenses, there will be less danger of living beyond your income, of which there have been so many lamentable instances. Never buy anything because it is recommended as being cheap. Many cheap things amount in time to a large sum. In selecting furniture, let utility, not fashion, govern your choice. Some young persons furnish their parlors so extravagantly that necessary and useful articles are neglected for want of means to purchase them. Be persuaded that happiness does not consist so much in having splendid furniture as in attending to the everyday comforts of those around you. If you marry without the useful knowledge necessary for governing your family, lose no time in acquiring it. There is a time when most young girls show a fondness for domestic affairs, before they are old enough to go into company, when it would be an agreeable change to be absent from school and assisting their mothers. The knowledge thus acquired would never be lost. Many a young man who commenced with fair prospects has been ruined through his wife's ignorance of domestic duties, and she has suffered from the constant diminution of his esteem and love. I once knew a lovely and accomplished young lady, accustomed to every indulgence, who on her marriage removed several hundred miles from her parents to reside in the country, where servants were difficult to procure. This delicate and sensitive young creature was much distressed by her ignorance of almost everything connected with housekeeping, and after suffering repeated mortifications, concluded to learn to do the work herself, and when this dearly bought knowledge was acquired, she was able to teach her ignorant servants, and resolved, if she ever had daughters, to use every means in her power to teach them. When a prudent wife is made acquainted with the circumstances of her husband, she will endeavor strictly to keep within their bounds, always remembering that losses and events, over which he has no control, may occur and greatly reduce his income. And how will it assist her to bear a reverse of fortune, if she has acted with no discretion? It will strengthen the wife to encourage and cheer her partner, and enable him to struggle through difficulties which were thought insurmountable. Happiness will not forsake such a family, though they lose almost everything. The peace which is the result of a good conscience will remain. This will strengthen them to begin anew, and the divine blessing will attend such efforts. A few remarks to encourage young housekeepers in their first attempts. As bread is the most important article of food, one of your first attempts should be to make a few loaves of good bread and rolls, of the most simple kind. Bread rolls are very easily made. If you succeed tolerably, it will encourage you to try again. When you make cakes, begin with the simple kinds, plain jumbles or cakes that you can roll out, or crisp gingerbread. Sponge cake is easier than those that have butter in them. I have known young persons succeed very well with it. Bread rusk is also easily made, or a few plain pies. Do not trust the baking to an ignorant person, but superintend it yourself. Sometimes baking in a stove is protracted by the dampness of the wood. Before you bake, have dry wood prepared. Watch the time. It is a good plan to have a clock near the kitchen. Do not have too many things on hand at once, but perfect yourself in the knowledge of a few important dishes. If you make good yeast, you'll be more certain of good bread, light cakes, and rolls. To cook a steak nicely is also important, and with a dish of potatoes well cooked, a dish of coleslaw and an apple pie or a little stewed fruit will make a good plain dinner. When your family is small, you can have something nice every day without cooking much. Veal cutlets and mutton chops are easy to cook and may be prepared in a short time. If you have a fowl and boil it, you can save the soup and warm it over for the next day. A cold roast fowl may be hashed. On days that you have cold meat, a batter pudding or plain rice pudding is easily prepared. If you wish to have an early breakfast, make every preparation that you can overnight. Set the table, have the relish cut, ready to cook or to warm over, and cold bread may be sliced and wrapped in a cloth to keep it moist. Coffee should be ground, and dry fuel and water at hand. With these preparations, breakfast may be ready in half an hour from the time the fire is made. If you have warm corn bread or rolls, it will require more time. But if you have them made up overnight and put in a cool place, they will not sour and can soon be baked. Maryland biscuit are very convenient, as they are always ready and will keep good a week. I have found it a great advantage to set the table overnight, particularly if you have a separate room to eat in. Although it takes but a short time, every minute is important in the morning. when the mistress washes the breakfast things, and puts them in their proper places, and counts the spoons and other articles, she can see when anything is missing. A mop is useful for glass and china. Keep a pan or a small tub for the purposes of holding the water, which should not be too hot. If tea things are put in very hot water, it'll be apt to crack them, or they will look smeared. Put a little soap in the water, wash the glass first, then the silver, then the cups and saucers, and lastly the plates and knives and forks. If spoons have been used with eggs, put them to soak immediately to prevent their turning dark. Have a common waiter for the pan to stand in, and on it drain your tea things. Spoons, when used with care, require polishing but seldom, as it wears the silver away. Dinner dishes should be washed first in moderately warm water and soap, rinsed in hot water, and drained before wiping. Put everything in its proper place, and inspect your pantry and cellar frequently. Sometimes things are forgotten, for want of attention, until they are spoiled. Air the cellar frequently. Do not let refuse vegetables accumulate, or anything that would be likely to cause sickness. You should provide coarse towels of different kinds, for china and glass, and for dinner dishes, also knife cloths. Have them marked and kept in their proper places. Some persons have their towels washed out every day, but it is better to save them for the weekly wash. If towels are thrown aside damp, they are liable to mildew. You should keep dusters of several kinds. Old silk handkerchiefs are best for highly polished furniture, or an old barege veil answers a good purpose. For common purposes, a square of coarse muslin or check is suitable. You should keep one floor cloth for chambers and one for the kitchen. Keep brooms for different purposes. Always use a soft one for carpets. As soon as they wear stiff, they will do for the kitchen or pavements. Pouring a little hot water on a broom softens it for carpets. You may save tea leaves to sprinkle over your carpet. When you give a thorough sweeping, this will brighten it, and occasionally to wipe it over with a cloth that has been wrung out of hot water cleanses it. Of course, this is only required for carpets in constant use. It is of great importance to health that sleeping apartments should be well aired and swept. If you sleep in an apartment where there has been a fire during the day, it should be well aired before going to bed, or if the room is close, having a little air admitted so as not to blow on persons that are asleep. A window that will lower from the top is an advantage. Beds should be well aired before they are made. Take the clothes off and leave them at least an hour. In pleasant weather, you may keep your chamber windows hoisted for several hours, and even in cold weather the windows may be kept up a short time. And if on any occasion you may be obliged to have the beds made without airing, turn the clothes halfway down and leave them for several hours. Some persons have cheap calico covers to spread over beds while the room is swept. This is a good plan on account of the dust. Bolster and pillow tucks wear better if you have a check case basted on. This should be changed, washed, and starched occasionally. It is a good plan also to have check covers for mattresses and feather beds, but the covers should not be kept on beds that are not in use, lest they should be liable to moth. In winter, a blanket should be put next to a bed that is not often slept in, or for a delicate person, and be particularly careful that sheets are dry before they are put away. In summer, it is most healthy to have your chamber floor bare, and have it washed occasionally. It is important to examine your clothes after they come from the wash, and see that they are perfectly dry before they are put away. End of Section 19. Remarks. Recorded by Marlo Diane. March 10, 2006. Piscataway West, Prince Edward Island.